Thank you, Liz. Appreciate it. It's a kind of a foggy afternoon in Eugene, and we are here with some guests to brighten up your afternoon. Gypsy Soul is Celette Swan on vocals and Roman Moriquette on guitars and backing vocals. They've traveled the world together making music since the mid-late 1990s. They have 10 independently produced CDs to the credit and more than 1.5 million downloads off the internet. Eric Allen is a published author, photographer, and radio personality, currently being heard by you, filling in on KLCC's Fresh Tracks. Gypsy Soul and Eric Allen have teamed up for a project called Grace and Tranquility. It includes a music CD and a book of words and photography. Gypsy Soul is playing tonight at the Unity of the Valley in Eugene, located at 39th and Hilliard. The show starts at 8 o'clock p.m. Welcome all to KLCC, and Eric, back to the studio, I guess.
Feels good to be on the other side of the microphone.
Yeah.
As it were.
Thank you for having us.
You're very welcome. It's nice to see you guys. We've been enjoying your music on KLCC for the last few weeks and a couple of months, I guess.
Thanks for playing
and recording. Yeah, you're welcome. Let's get started with a song today, if that's good with both of you. What's the tune? And please tell us a little bit about it.
This is a song called Older Than Its Name. This is off of Grace and Tranquility. And Eric and I are co-lyricists on it. Roman wrote the music and arranged the music. And it's kind of, to me, it's a little bit of an ancient wisdom kind of song. Far older than its name. It carved this channel long before we came. The lips of ancient lovers touch this way. Their embraces etched a new pathway. I look at you and hear you say,
all the voices linger on, oh, and flow like this river, hold it there.
That's Gypsy Soul on Fresh Tracks this afternoon. Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Celette, I want to ask you about the beginnings for the Gypsy Soul band. This goes back to what, the mid-1990s? Is that right?
The mid-1880s.
The 1880s, that's right.
Actually, before that, kind of in the mid-80s, actually, I moved to Europe from the States. I'm actually Canadian. And I moved to Europe, and I was singing in some French bands over there. And I knew that I kind of wanted to track down my Celtic roots. And I ended up in Scotland, and I lived in Edinburgh for about 4 years. And Roman and I started a band. It wasn't quite in the form of Gypsy Soul yet, but we started writing and realized that we had quite a kinship musically. And then ultimately, we came back to Canada and trickled down into the States. And by about 1996, we made our first record on our own.
Now, how did the music sound then to you as compared to what you're doing now? Were you kind of more traditional sounding at that time in Europe?
Actually, less so. I think it was a little poppier.
Really?
At that time, Test of Time was a poppier record. We were kind of still finding out who we were and who we wanted to be. And, you know, the prevailing musical kind of stream at the time was very much that kind of Sarah McLachlan, Enya type thing. Yeah. And we thought that's what we wanted to do. Which turned out not to be the case. We're a little rootsier than that, I think.
I think I lost some of the Celtic influence in my voice. Having lived in Scotland, that's all I heard, you know, in Irish music and my Irish background. And I think once we got to the States, it got a little rootsier and it got a little more Americana with a pop kind of feel to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You've been fiercely independent in terms of producing your own music since you guys got started. No backing from a record company, no contractual obligations and that sort of thing with the corporate office. In retrospect, it seems kind of like you were pioneering a new look at the music industry in terms of marketing the music and making it for yourself. Any thoughts on that one? Did you feel like you were out there by yourself at that time?
Well, there were a few bands that would do it. I mean, we had... You know, I was signed in England to A&M in the late 80s, and we had, you know, one of the mega deals and stuff, and I had a first-hand experience of what it's like dealing with that kind of, you know, yes, you're getting this money and this kind of infusion of support, but that support comes at a very huge price.
Right.
And I don't think we set out to do this and, you know, be trailblazers, or even blazers, actually.
Which is slightly
different
wearing
from
trailblazers.
Blazers. Because blazers are kind of more like a brassiere. You know, but I don't know what the
you
hell
can
I'm
wear
talking
the blazer,
about.
I'll wear the brassiere.
Celette wears a brassiere, and I wear one too sometimes. But that has nothing to do with what I'm talking about.
Yeah, right, that's now. Good to be.
Yeah. Over to you.
But I think, you know, I don't think we knew what we were getting into, and I think it was a blessing in disguise. It's like starting your own business. If you think about all the licensing and all the accounting and all the stuff you have to set up to start your own business, many people would never begin because it's daunting. We took everything step by step, and even when we raised the money to make the record, the first record, Test of Time, we didn't have the money to press it or distribute it.
Right.
So we just did it step by step, and then people kind of came in the fold, and they believed in us, and they saw our tenacity or insanity. I'm not sure what it was at the time, but people kind of came on board and wanted to help us. And we met our publisher at that point in L.A., and he actually funded the first pressing of Test of Time.
You also did a lot of traveling and live playing in those days, right? I mean, I know you still do a lot of traveling, but I'm wondering, at that time, must have been kind of crazy.
Yeah, we were doing the art and wine festivals. We played at swap meets. We played anywhere where there were people.
Sure.
Because radio play was difficult to come by. It's always been the same. You know, it's just it's difficult to get stations. You know, the country's so huge. It's right. You know, trying to get stations to take you on board. So it was just like, well, what's the next best thing that we can do?
And
get out and play in front of people.
Yeah, and it was really, truly all about that. Was our mission was to find as many people who were open minded who got what we did.
And really, in a lot of ways, that feeds into the whole idea of the internet and all of the kind of community things that are happening now, interconnections that are happening now.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah. I think it does.
Eric, I want to bring you into the conversation right now. Grace and Tranquility Project with the book and the music CD is kind of your brainchild, as I understand it. What made you think that kind of a project might work?
I've always been deep into music and lyricism on so many levels, as well as the writing and photography I do. And music has been such a huge part of my life, and it affects us so deeply. And when I think about putting together a project, whether it's about getting nature into everyday life or whether it's this project about bringing peace into everyday life, I wanted to affect as many senses as possible. And music is so powerful, it just seemed like a great vision to be able to put together music with the writing and photography. And Solette and Roman and I had spoken about making a record together when my previous book came out, and it just wasn't the right time. I knew it was the right people, it just wasn't the right time. And it came around again to us several years later.
Let me ask you, why did you choose those two concepts, grace and tranquility? I mean, we all understand that those are good things, or should be good things, but out of, you know, warmth or all of the other good things that are kind of life attributes, why grace and tranquility?
It seemed to be what I needed and the people around me needed most. You know, it's, I always say, write what you need to know. There's always the old adage of write what you know, but instead, it's more like give what you want to receive. And this, the grace part kind of followed up my previous book, Wild Grace, Nature is a Spiritual Path. And tranquility was the essence of what I was seeking to both give and receive.
Right. Good one. How about another tune? What have you got for us, Solette?
This is probably one of my favorite songs on the record. It's called Beauty of Doubt. And I think in it, at its core, it's about finding comfort with uncertainty, and certainly all of us are living in that kind of uncertain place at the moment. So here we go. Roman switched over to dobro
that I bought here in Eugene, by the way.
You were telling us about this earlier.
Yeah, bringing the baby home. All I have is reverence now. for the beauty of doubt.
Yeah, beautiful. Thank you. You're listening to Gypsy Soul on Fresh Tracks. Celette Swan on the vocals and Roman Morikit on the guitar and the backing vocals. Michael Canning and Eric Allen also in the room with you this afternoon. Hope you're doing well. Eric, you and Celette collaborated on the lyrics for these tunes on the record. What did each of you bring to the table in your estimation, and how did that collaboration work? I'm going to ask you the same question.
I brought the initial ideas and concepts and an excess of preliminary words. It's always better to start with too much and then go from more to less.
Yeah, adding is not a good thing.
Adding is not a good thing, and we really love simplicity and clarity in the music we create. I mean, less is definitely more.
Sure.
And starting from those initial words, I gave Celette and Roman complete trust to do whatever they felt was right with them to turn to music, because I trust them tremendously. And Celette distilled the lyrics, always made them better and made them fewer words than they were before, which she should then do in the rest of my life as well. We can talk about that off the air. And Roman put beautiful music to it, and that was it was a magically easy collaboration.
Celette, what did you see as your main job in that collaboration? Was it about fitting the words to the melody lines, or was it more about, as he says, simplifying things down?
I think it was a little bit of everything. I mean, I will agree with everything Eric said. And in addition, from a singer's perspective, the words that I choose to roll off my lips have to have a certain form because of how I sing. I'm a very stylized singer. Mm-hmm. And so in thinking of the vocal melody, which I'm writing and Roman's writing the music, it was finding a way for everything to have balance and have life. And at the end of the day, it was the service to the song. Mm. And, you know, I think that's what I kept. I had never collaborated with a writer except for my dad on one song before he passed away, and we did a jazz song together. But I had never had that experience of collaborating, so it was brilliant. It was great fun and a challenge as well. To try, you know, Shakespeare didn't use big words. Shakespeare used very, you know, prudently, he used very specific words that got his message across. And it's like, that's what I try to learn. I listen to the Beatles as well. They're not about many words. They're about the right words. And that takes, I think that's the art form.
Roman, the music now to go with what you knew was a project that would include photography and prose as well as music. What kinds of things were you thinking about in terms of when you were writing the music for this?
Well, I mean, when Eric presented us with the pile, we went to our separate corners, as we like to say, and did many things. But one of them was reading the lyrics, of course. Yeah, I know, I'm sorry. We all listened and read through the lyrics, and just we made a list of the ones that actually meant something to us, had some kind of impact, either thematically or just the way that the words flow sometimes. And for me, I'm a very very visual writer. Eric kind of gave me this is what I think. When I think of the, you know, after we'd all selected our you know, the lyrics that we liked, we just distilled them down to the ones that we thought we could actually get to work. And even that process changed because as we started going, certain things presented themselves that, you know, that list changed. But anyway, Eric presented me with some ideas. I said, well, what do you hear when you hear these particular songs? And he gave this, you know, in typical Eric Allen fashion,
a lot of words.
And he was very specific about what he felt they were. And I would read his ideas and go, okay, I can see where you're coming from. And sometimes I would write the music and it would, I mean, every time I think that we ended up getting to the song, it may have been a similar or a completely different musical feel, but the idea, I think, the feeling of what Eric was trying to get across, I think, worked every single time. Even though we may have seen the songs completely differently, mm-hmm. the feeling was there. And that's basically what I go from, is just, you know, what are you trying to say here? How is this supposed to feel? How is supposed to, you know, Select communicating this? What does the album need? What does it need musically? Where does it need to go? You know, because we wanted it to be more of an album listening experience rather than just a collection of pop songs.
Right, but now you have to pay attention to tempo and
right.
think about what visually that's doing and
right.
And also textures. I'm sure that are
all of
congruous
those things.
With yep. the words. Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting. Okay, how is this going to proceed tonight? Gypsy Soul is playing at Unity the Valley, 39th and Hilliard in Eugene, and this is a multimedia affair. So, Eric, how does the show proceed this evening?
Well, I'll begin with a few paragraphs of intro from the book as a way of introducing the band and setting the tone for the evening. The band is going to be coming on then with a few songs in the first set, and we'll weave back into images and words from the book for a little while. Then we'll take a quick break, and then there'll be a full Gypsy Soul concerts in the second set.
Okay, starts at 8 o'clock tonight. One more tune?
Okay.
This afternoon.
Absolutely. This is one of ours off of Wanderlust. Actually, it's off of the...
No, it's not Beneath the Covers.
Beneath the yeah. Covers. It's called Lovin' Me. It's kind of a cheeky little song about looking after number one when you feel no one's paying attention. Said that you loved me for all the things that I am, but you tried to break me, baby, or to weaken me was your plan. And long before you, I was too wrong. I could stand on my own. Oh, it's taken me time to believe all these things I have known. Oh, whoa, and I won't let loving you take the place of loving me. Oh, no, no.
Taking me time to believe all these things that I have known.
loving me. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's fun. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much, Mike.
Salette Swan and Roman Marquette together, Gypsy Soul, along with Eric Allen tonight. They'll be presenting a multimedia show with music and visuals as well, showcasing the Grace and Tranquility Project at Unity of the Valley, 39th and Hilliard in Eugene. The show begins at 8 o'clock. Also, special thanks this afternoon to our engineer, Denny Kahn, in the next room. Thank you very much, Denny, for a job well done. And also to Liz Wise for the space today on Fresh Tracks this afternoon. Thanks very much, you guys. Travel easy, okay?
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.